Okay. begot four sons, namely Vedeshira, Devama, Vayuna, and Manu. Kasyapa, who was also named Daksha, had four wives. In one gave birth to birds, the other gave birth to locusts, the other gave birth to Garuda, the chariot of Lord Vishnu, and Anura, or Aruna, the chariot driver of the sun. Kadru gave birth to different kinds of serpents. Okay, now today's translation. Omarga Pariksit, best of the Bharatas, the constellations named Pritika were all wives of Munga. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. I'll say this. Omar Prishit, best of the Bharatas. The constellations in Pritika were all wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. Because the moon god was very much attached to Rohini, he neglected all of his other wives. Therefore, seeing the bereavement of his daughters, Prajapati Daksha became angry and cursed him. So they say that man is the measure of all things, and we accept it. That everything is subordinate to my perception. If I don't see it, smell it, taste it, if I can't measure it with my senses, it doesn't exist. Why? Where is that stated axiomatically that everything is supported to our intellect and our first our incoming sense perception, and then our analysis, and not ours? Well, certainly the great men of the past, we stand on the shoulders of giants, the aggregate total of knowledge. Why? Why is that the closed system? Frankly, Kali Yuga, of which we are all victims, certainly myself, you've come just to sort of change the opera, but I can speak from my own position. It is saturated with arrogance and ignorance and pride. It is the very nature of the place. It's the air we breathe. Prabhupada takes some example, two simple examples. Prabhupada gives about the nature of pride in the age of Kali. A man is sitting on the, this is Kalidas, the famous cocoon of folkloric stories. So Kalidas is sitting, here's a tree, this is a trunk, and a branch. Kalidas is sitting here and enthusiastically sawing right here. Can you see? Anybody get an idea what's about to happen? So some man walking on the road says, hey, you're going to fall on your head. You can't saw like that. Kalidas says, what? You're a woodcutter? Did you graduate from woodcutting you? Who are you to tell me anything? Wrong! So, of course, he keeps sawing, and what happens? He's quickly introduced to the law of gravity. And when he sees the person who predicted his predicament, rather than admitting it, rather than, I was an idiot, I shouldn't listen to you, he says, oh, you must be a great astrologer. You can see the future. Wouldn't admit it. Or Brahma's classic example, two men are traveling together. Somehow or other, they're by the bank of a river, they want to throw a bucket into the river and draw some water out. So one man says, they have a rope, they need to cut the rope. So one man has his handy Swiss Army knife. He says, oh, I have a Swiss Army knife, I'll cut the rope. His friend says, huh, I have a pair of German scissors. Scissors are much better. You cut with the rope and fray it. Are you criticizing my Swiss Army knife? Are you criticizing my scissors? They get into a huge argument. The scissors advocate is small size, the knife advocate is big. Finally, the night of Adam gets this, "You rascal, you don't agree with me. I'm going to hold you under the river until you drown." So even the small knife, scissors advocate to be held underwater by the knife advocate, what is his last gasping gesture? He holds his hand above the water and goes like this. He's still arguing with scissors again. So this is the nature that everyone is so proud of and so arrogant. But the fact of the matter is that we live in an animated universe. We live in an amazing animated universe. It is birth of cities, birth of birds, birth of serpents. So many amazing things are happening beyond our level of perception. Let me introduce you to one of my favorite characters, Christopher Columbus' aunt. You all know Christopher Columbus? Another favorite is Balboa. Balboa crossed the isthmus. There's a place in North America, and then in Central America, and then South America. So the narrowest part of that is called the isthmus, the narrowest part of that little strand of land. He went to the Pacific Ocean. He touched his flag in the Pacific Ocean, first time someone from Europe had experienced it, and he planned, he touched the Pacific Ocean with the Spanish flag and said, "All lands touched by this ocean now belong to the Queen of Spain." I'm sure they were quite surprised in Japan and China to say, "Oh, that's Espanol." No. So, Christopher Columbus and the greatest explorer. I'm sitting here droning on, and Christopher Columbus and, deputed by the Queen, is out for exploration. And he crawls up and goes over me, he goes, "Oh, you know, you through my seat, he comes down." Off he goes. And in due course, he reports back to the Queen the result of his adventures. "Great lands, great vistas, forests, so many things I discovered. All uninhabited." Now, what's wrong with his analysis that all the things he experienced were uninhabited? He's crawling on me, and I'm a person. But because of his little tiny range of perception, he had no idea he was crawling on a person. Because he had a little narrow band of experience. I grow flowers for our deities. It's my either that or basket music, it's my therapy. And it's actually quite pleasant. It's a nice thing to do. Because it says in the, I think it's Padma Purana, the fragrant flowers offered in the deities are more valuable than gold. It's a nice one. So I had been traveling for some time. I have a beautiful old world rose, beautiful, bright pink, super fragrant. And I had been away for some time. When I came back, I'm watering it. Now, in my absence, a colony of ants had moved into the pot. You know, ants move in different places, so they moved in. All of a sudden, I'm there with a hose. You can imagine, you ever seen that? They all, you know, women and children first, they all panicked and they got all the little alarms on their head and they were all, you know. I felt very bad. I shut the water off. I tried to get a stick so they were completely panicked. Now somewhere in the great annals of the ant history, the ant Purana, will be written of the flood of 2015. They had no idea that behind the water was a hose. Behind the hose was a faucet. Behind the faucet was a hand. And behind the hand was yours truly. The point is, the little ant, what can it understand of the world around it? You know? So, although we're very arrogant and very proud that we're the measure of all things, and we've got MIT, what is it? Dark matter, antimatter, and it doesn't matter. You know, they got their IIT, MIT, so many things, Caltech, so many things. One of my favorites, I mentioned the Parkes Observatory in my article. Another one of my favorites, it's a different one. True story, I could make this up if I wanted to. There was a joint effort between the European Space Program and NASA, which is the American Space Program, USA. and they combined together. And I think they were sending something to Venus.
You can Google it, you'll find out.
Millions of dollars, tax dollars at work. Millions of dollars of the size, $300 million. I've got the picture. You send me an email, I'll send you the picture. They sent this thing off. Off it goes. It's sending it back in signals. Nothing. They lost it. But somewhere out there, they don't know. And there's the picture of it as it dies on the monitor. You've got the pictures of these IIT, MIT, Caltech, and they're all, they're just, they can't believe it. So they trace the thing back. Again, I could not make this up if I wanted to. Remember, it's European and it's American. Team, joined together, teams. So many teams, hydraulic team, rocket team, this team, so many teams, vendors and writers. So out of 100 plus teams, you know what the problem was? One of the co-teams, European and American, the American team was using inches, and the European team was using meters. And they were the ones who calculated the trajectory of the rocket. So they don't know where it's going. $300+ million. See? Whoops, there's good. What if you use an inch of that will cause a problem? So the fact Prabhupada was expert in this, like the emperor's no opponent. People are something came out of nothing. There's a joke. It's my job to tell some jokes. It's expected of me. There's actually substance, but I'll tell some jokes. You know, in Christian theology, they say God put some earth together and breathed life into it, and it was good. So, in the evolution of history, now man is evolved. We don't need God as a sentimental figure to old age and people afraid of death. So the man says to God, we don't need you anymore. You just run along. We got everything. We know how everything works. We'll take care of that. You take over the wheel. You go do whatever you do. They have no idea. So God, being a kind father, says, okay, before I hand over the father, I'll make the wheels of the creation. Let's just make sure that you can measure up to the job. So I took earth, put together, breathed life into it, and I made a man. You do the same. The guy says, easy, I can do it. He starts to put the earth together. God says, hang on a minute, get your own earth. You follow? They say that everything came from nothing, a singularity. The creation of the original free lunch, and we're supposed to believe this? We're supposed to swallow this? The law of entropy. I mean, things devolve, they don't evolve. Something, if I leave this iPad here long enough, this is an old version, a kind gift from my daughter, it does the job, it's fine. It's an iPad, whatever. Early version. Now, if I leave it here, but if I were able to leave it here, will it evolve into the latest version I thought? Will it? I mean, I can get into the whole thing, I mean, how it works, but the fact of the matter is, things devolve. If this guys, if this building was not maintained, if we didn't have a good temple president, I have to wonder why I'm half crazy. I've got an excuse. I was a temple president for over 20 years of my life. Not an easy job. If we didn't have a good temple president, making sure everything was going on, you know, so many valuable devotees were existing, what would happen to this building? Huh? Would it evolve into, you know, something more fancy? Would it? No. If you put the vegetables, you stack them all together, they can turn into a 15-course feast. It just doesn't happen. Nowhere in our experience does simply evolve into more complex. Rather, the inverse of this facts. You leave something alone, it devolves. It does not evolve. So this whole idea that, you know, from prebiotic soup or, you know, whatever, there's this guy, Stephen Miller, for a little appeal, and we'll be back. There's Stephen Miller.
He'll get a Nobel Prize in due course. University of California, San Diego, one of the best hard science universities in the world. And it's advertised, he created life. It's been done. Life was created in the test tube. You know what he actually did? He took some amino acids, he took some amino acids, suspended it in this and that, shot electricity through it, and it created a simple protein. A simple protein, which is the building block of life, and the building blocks of life. That's like if I were to give you, what's the comparison? Suppose, I'll make it simple. Suppose I gave you a mirror off a car, or a door handle, and I said, here's a car. Would anybody here accept that? You pay me whatever the price of a brand new vehicle or whatever one of the cars are, and I'll give you the steering wheel. There you go, you got it. I'll give you a horn, beep, beep. I'll throw in the horn. You got a steering wheel, beep, beep, you got a horn. Anyone can accept that as a car? I mean, there's so many more steps till you actually get the thing. So to create one protein, that is just to build a cell, is more complicated than New York City. I mean, you can read on it, I didn't go in on that time. But the idea that without the influence of intelligence, somehow or other evolved from just soup, which ultimately comes from nothing, from singularity, only in Kali Yuga will people accept this. So we actually, the fact of the matter is, we live in a profoundly amazing, animated universe. People can function under the wrong concept. Sure, we've got our little world, we get from point A to point B with the help of, you know, a GPS and a Boy Scout and a compass. You know, we can get from point A to point B. One of my favorites. People can function with a completely wrong conception. That's my point. We can think it's just chemicals, and look at all the things we've done. Medical advancements of science, you know. Of course, bubonic plague. What is the other one? They're all coming back, by the way. That's a whole story. But just as a side light, you know, we've conquered disease. We make so much advancement. The homeless people, some homeless people in New York City, are carrying, bubonic plague. Tuberculosis is another big one. Polio is another big one. They get sick, they go to the hospital, they take some antibiotic, just enough that they feel better. Then they stop taking it. And they're actually working as petri dishes, breeding grounds for, drug immune diseases. We have only one or two antibiotics standing as a single line. Yeah, it's a scary thing. It's true. Bubonic plague, tuberculosis, they're all coming back. So, you know, but anyway, give them some credit. They may have accomplished it. They've done some amazing things, no doubt about it. One can function with a completely wrong conception. Here's an example. Amazing thing. You know Tahiti in the South Pacific? The little island of Tahiti. Now, from Tahiti, to Peru, people sailed hundreds of years ago all the way from Tahiti to Peru. No sextant, no navigational material, no GPS, simply by the stars. They sailed all the way from Tahiti to Peru on catamarans. You know, you take some logs, you make a platform, you sail up. Anyone can know how many miles it is? 3,000, 4,000 miles, something. It's a good distance in a little tiny boat just by the stars. Now, here's the amazing thing. You know what they're considering? That's something amazing. They accomplished an amazing navigational task. You know what their conception of the world was? That the world is flat and stable. And when I'm throwing my duck out, it's being blown by the wind, I'm pulling the world past me. In other words, they believe that I'm here, and by rowing, I'm moving the world past me. And that it's flat. Totally wrong conception. And yet they were able to accomplish something amazing. So then we jump, we make big buildings, and little gizmos and this and that. Fine. But you're completely functioning under the wrong conception that life comes from matter, whereas matter comes from life. So the simple, we want to get into something else. The simple point I'm trying to make here is that we live in an amazing animated universe. The Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada said, the most intelligent person to ever walk on the planet outside of Krishna is incarnations, and they're not in there. But anyway, Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami, just for fun, not just for fun, but just think about it for fun for a moment. You know his concept, Dharma? It starts with a primordial question. It doesn't make any assumptions. I was on the morning walk one time. Prabhupada would say, he was talking something and he wanted an answer from us. And the devotees were giving an answer. They were quoting Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, no, don't bring in Bhagavad Gita. Let's talk logic. So, how do we know what we know? That's an important question. Where do we put our faith in? What do we believe? How do we know what we know? It begins with Descartes. I think, therefore I am. Jiva Goswami says, this much we all agree on, that I exist. I'm not so much sure about you. You might be a figment of my imagination. You might be a dream. It might all be in my head. Fine, that's a possibility. We're open to all possibilities. But I am thinking there is some entity that is creating this, even if it's all a dream. Some entity is dreaming the dream. So he starts with that. He says, Jiva Goswami, there's the seer, there's the seen, and the act of seeing. We know that. Seer, seen, act of seeing. And from that, he builds the whole structure of surrender to Bhagavatam. It's amazing. We can start. Okay, well, what do we believe? Well, we have our senses. We smash the senses. We have folklore. People say, it has been said, it is written. He completely smashes that. He systematically, all the pramanas are eliminated as inferior or fallible. And the only sense that actually works is hearing. And who do you hear from? Ultimately, truth is revelatory. It's descending. It has to come from a higher to a lower. Simple thing. If I'm finite, anyone here want to argue that they're not finite? Limited? Anyone want to make that case? Okay. Accepting that we're limited. If I want to understand the unlimited, what do I do? Suppose Dharmapa, because he's a saintly person, but suppose he poured glue on this seat, and I'm sitting on it, and it has done its job. Now, if I want to shake hands with Vana Bhakta Prabhu, my old friend, Saint Bodhi, powerful book speaker, helped build this temple by years of blood, sweat, and tears in Japan, yeah, that's a fact. So I want to shake hands with Vana Bhakta Prabhu, but I'm glued to the seat. Now, is it possible for me to shake hands with Vana Bhakta or not? Huh? Anyone want to argue no? I can only stretch so I can't like it. So, possible or impossible? Who wants to advocate? No one wants to advocate impossible. Means you must want to advocate possible. How is it possible? If he takes the initiative, I cannot do it on my own. If he takes the initiative, then, so the point is that which is higher than us, if we want, and it's true in every single field, why is a PhD candidate has to simply serve his professors? In every field of knowledge, there's apprenticeship. Knowledge is descending. If we want to understand that which is higher beyond our experience, beyond our comprehension, immediate comprehension, it has to be revealed. It has to be explained. You have to go to those who've seen the truth. So the fact of the matter is we're like those little ants living in my pot. And we think we know everything. And we laugh, these foolish people have personified forces. You look at the old maps, and there's the wind with something blowing in it, and there's the sun and the person. So, now we know that everything comes from nothing, and it's all blind force. It is rank foolishness and pride. That's all. fact of the matter is that Jiva Goswami, my initial name, such a profoundly intelligent person. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of those Swamis, refined philosophers. Dvijakar, it was Rupa Goswami he meant, or Jiva Goswami he meant, or both? Akbar? Emperor Akbar? He met Jiva Goswami twice. So much impressed, he sent his own embassy. He came once. Jiva Goswami said there's only one king in Vrindavan, that's Krishna, so you can't come in your kingly clothes. You have to understand the power of Akbar. Akbar was a smart person. You know, his empire, you know, in France and Europe at the time, they thought you got to wear purple. You know, you bathe, you get sick. You know? So, dark ages. And he's ruling an empire that goes from Afghanistan all the way to the end of Bengal. So, inadvertently, such a powerful person. He meets Jiva Goswami. He comes with a small retinue, a small assembly, a servant. Meets Jiva Goswami. He's so profoundly, he wants to meet him again. He says, please come to my palace, I want to discuss more. What Jiva Goswami says, I never meet Vrindavan. So Akbar arranges to bring a chariot to pick him up at sunrise and bring him back, you know, bring him to Agra, then bring him back before sunset. So, such a powerful person, Jiva Goswami, that even Akbar is willing to come at his feet. And to this day, Oxford, University of Chicago, Harvard, they're studying the books by Jiva Goswami. Do you think that he believed fairy tales? Do you think that he just read the Bhagavad Gita and thought it was all allegorical? I remember the first time I saw a picture of the you know, there's Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And it was Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and then Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, you know. I remember thinking, oh, it's like the constellations, you know. You know, when you study the constellations, and then in all these pictures, there's Orion's Belt, and there's a Big Dipper. And so I was sitting in the temple of the Muji. I didn't know anything. I was just a guest, right? And somebody asked me, oh, what is this picture? It was a picture of Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. We all know the whole Krishna. And I said, oh, well, it's allegorical, and it stands for this, and it's just like if you connect the stars to the sky, you know, is it understanding of the universe, you just create this picture. And the devotee, Shukadev, he was cooking the Sunday feast, came out of the kitchen with a knife. And he said, Krishna's real, and this is, you know, and just gave it, and he was shaking this big knife. I said, okay, I'm on board. But it's not, allegories are there. We can take allegories. So many things are there. But do you believe that Jiva Goswami, our Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a profound intellect, and he's looking to fairy tales? No. The fact of the matter is we live in an animated universe, and we are tiny little ants in a corner. It's a fun thing. If you ever, again, Google it. You can go from where you are, you know, you'll see, you know, wherever you are, put in your location. And then it'll scope out, and you can see the buildings, and you can see the streets, then you can see the country, then you can see the continent. And we'll just keep going. You can see, you know, the hemisphere, then you see the earth, and finally, we can't even. Where are we in the Milky Way? You can't even see our galaxy, or whatever it is. It's just whatever it is in the Milky Way. That's how insignificant we are. I mean, each devotee is invaluable. Not to create low self-esteem. But the point is, who are we to claim the nature of the universe? Okay, so I want to say, can we get a monkey inside?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Nobody can get progress on. He might do a better job of it. Okay, so I wanted to say this also. Therefore, Gita says in the Bhagavatam, come on, welcome back here. Hello, hello, folks. Bhagavatam, right? There was a big prediction of an earthquake. You know, the big one. It's always going to happen in California, it's going to fall in the ocean.
They're selling seaside estates in Nevada and so on. And Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada had his ear to what was going on. So devotees have been telling Prabhupada, the big one's coming, the big one's coming. I was sitting in L.A. Temple, the old temple. Prabhupada's giving Bhagavatam class. And we have the reports regularly in Los Angeles, in Trenton. So right in the middle of Bhagavatam class, the earth starts to shake. And the chandeliers start to sway. Come to the book. And that's true. The Prabhupada just looked up, saw the chandelier, and went right back to Bhagavatam. He was totally undisturbed. So that's what you do with it. Those who, yeah, we got our men to take care of them. We've got to do their job. Okay. And we've got 15 minutes. So, Dharma Gita. The first, Krishna is describing the elements of knowledge. What is the first quality, the necessary prerequisite condition that Krishna gives from which all knowledge flows? What is the first quality? Keen intellect? IIQ? IIT degree? What does he say? Humility. It's the, and Prabhupada describes in the purport that humility is the precursor, it is the first step in knowledge. So we should have, and I'm speaking to myself, humility about what is our actual position, our claims. And we, the fact that I'm sitting here talking, the fact that you can digest lunch is an amazing thing. Everything that goes into that is a mind blower. You know, they used to have the pictures in the American advertisements, commercials, and the guy takes the pill, you've got the silhouette of the body, you've got the mouth, you've got the tube, and you've got the stomach. Remember that? That's all that's going on. You just drop the pill and go to sleep. And you're cured, you know? But just to digest our food is the most... Here's a mind-blower. Straw. One of the most insignificant things. Straw. You know, word smaller, we lower the straw in the street. A cow takes straw and turns the most insignificant, inexpensive, inconsequential item, takes straw, dry grass, and turns it into the miracle food of milk. You try that, Mr. PhD. Permanent head damage, chronic humidity disorder. You take some straw. I'll give you some straw. You chew it. And you're okay, you're not your man. Okay, give it to your wife. Have your wife chew it and have her make some milk. It's amazing. The mystical arrangement of our animated universes all around. One man said, show me God. Prabhupada said, that's not the question. The question is, why can't you see God? That's the real question. Because the mystic power of God is all around us if we have the eyes to see. We live in an animated universe. And the Bhagavatam is simply telling it as it is. It is an amazing, profound... It should blow our minds. Should the measure be, well, that's the idol of this thing, no. We thought it was a great idea to come to this material world. I mean, who would we? What is our qualification for making bright choices? Okay, got that out of my chest. The Bhagavatam is full of examples and cautionary tales. What to do and what not to do. Classic example. We have Prahlad and we have Nishikade. We have Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakasipu. Hiranyakasipu was so powerful that he moved one eyebrow and all the demigods trembled. Incredible power beyond anything we can even conceive. They have a picture of Billy and Jimmy Carter. He was the president of the United States. You have to work hard to become the president. It's a lot. Just you have to sing for your supper and kiss up to everybody and raise millions of... It's a real tapasya. So they have a picture of him. His first time he walked into the Oval Office, which is the center of the White House, the president's office. And I swear to you, he's jumping off the ground and twirling. He's so ecstatic that he's actually the president. He's jumping off the ground and twirling. And how long was he in for? 4 years, and they threw him out like old garbage. So, and it's insignificant.
Anybody here from America know who the 16th president of the United States is?
I have no idea.
It's insignificant. So imagine the power of Hiranyakasipu controlling the entire universe. And yet, and on the other side, in this corner, we have Hiranyakasipu. Picture a boxing arena. And in this corner, we have weighing in 45, 50 pounds. We have five, six-year-old, Prahlad Maharaj. Innocent boy, folded hands, completely surrendered to Krishna. And yet, who was victorious? Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, Hiranyakasipu was also saved by the prayers of his son. So, the Bhagavatam is full of that. Here from this verse, we have the moon god, Somaras, heavenly planet, beautiful gardens, Nandananda gardens, amazing place, drinking soma. Anybody want to go there?
Quietly? Yeah, that's something good. I'm going to check it out on the way back. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll stop, you know, at layover periods.
And yet, he's completely in anxiety. He's cursed. He's attached to one. His wives are fighting because he's attached to one wife and ignoring the others. Daksha, his father-in-law, is cursing him. Anxiety. Even he's in such an elevated position. Daksha. So powerful. He's getting angry, he's agitated, completely entangled, with family life. This daughter, that daughter. So many things. So from the highest planet to the lowest planet, all are places of misery. Nobody's free. When Narada Muni is speaking to the sons, those other sons, the first wave or the second wave? Okay. He gives them an analogy. Oh, Krishna Barsha is giving the analogy. But he also gives a similar example to the Aryasas. That there's a... He's describing this world, but he's doing it in allegory. He says there's a river that runs in two directions. There's a hole from one's entering, one never gets out. And there's a machine that spins and destroys the whole thing covered with razors. Anyone know what the river that runs in two directions is? Creation and dissolution. Everything, Krishna says, I am, the destroyer of all things. Everything comes to dust. If you go to the Vatican, if you go to the Vatican, they have when you go to the Vatican Museum, there's a skull. You know the skull? Looking right at you. And under it is a caption that says, you are, and you know, here's the tourists, they're all happy, 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 they got their shorts and their camera, and you know, you got their little guide, and they're all ready to go, right? They see the scope and they read it. They stop just for a moment. What is it? Renunciation of the story? For a few minutes they think about it. That scope under the caption says, you are what I once was. I am what you will become. Think about it. Happy, happy tourist. You are what I once was. Hey, I was like you. I was happy, happy. Guess what? I am what you will become. So, creation and dissolution. And this material world is so entangled, once you go in, practically speaking, it's impossible to get out. In San Diego, they have a county, it's the state fair. You know, fairs they have, and they have a famous merry-go-round. It's one of the biggest merry-go-rounds in America. You know, merry-go-round, you get on, you ride with different animals, camels, horses, swans, and the little kids and everything. Everybody's happy, happy, right? They're all snapping to their, you know, the little kids are happy, happy. The thing broke. It's a fun ride. You know, you get on, you go on in 5-6 minutes. Great. Maybe you go again. Great. The thing broke. It started going faster, 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 and faster, and faster, and faster. The little kids, crawling up,
zing, 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 zing,
was going so the parents couldn't get up. The thing became a nightmare. Finally, they figured they pulled the plug and slowed down, right? Did any of those kids, as they stumbled off the thing, say, "I'm going to go again"? What do you mean? No way, man. They're traumatized. They're never getting on a merry-go-round again. But here we are, the wheel of samsara, again and again and again and again. So, where do you go? Even Indra, here it's described, the moon god, full of anxiety. There's Alibhavate, Alidaivate, Alibhavate. You know, it is threefold miseries. If I want to make a rope, just like this rope is, what makes this rope so strong? Outside of the material. Here's a big hint for Buddhists. In the design, what is the design that makes this rope so strong? Any of the ladies know? In the back. What makes this rope so strong? Ah, good. What is the answer? It's a combining. It's what? It's a series of threads that make it strong. We are bound by the three modes of material nature. And we are bound tight to this world. And we're going round and around. And even you go to the heavenly planets, even you become the moon god, even you become Daksha, you can have many wives. The Mormons, you know Mormon? Fastest growing religion in the world. Their philosophy is scratched. They have a great social system. That's how they're growing. They have a great social system. Philosophy, they can grow. Their philosophy is if you become a perfect Mormon, you get to have your own universe. This is what they actually believe. You get your own universe, you can have as many wives as you like, and you populate the whole universe. You're a prajapati. No, it's true. That I went to, they opened that big temple in San Diego. They opened it for the public for 1 week, and then they completely cleansed the thing, and only Mormons can get in. The center of the thing, the heaven room, you know what's in the center of the heaven room? Yeah, inside the Mormon church. Inside the heaven room, which is the core of their tabernacle, is a giant bed. Aranya, Kasi. And that bed is for all your wives and for all your children. They sign you up, some. Ooh, these people blow themselves up because they get, well, how many wives do you get? You're Islam, you blow yourself up. Inshallah, boom. So, even if you become Daksha, and you have so many wives, he's full of anxiety. What is the intelligent takeaway from this? You're not happy. It doesn't work. What is the use?
So, in summation, we should get, let's see.
We'll say this. The there are two types of people who are happy in this world, Prabhupada said. Two types. Do you know who those two types are? When you're taking prashant, because that's also very nice. What are the two types of people in this world? What's one type of person who's happy in this world? Okay, we'll save you from this. What's it? He said Paramahansa, what's the other one? Fool. You see too. Maybe not in India, but they're drunk. A man was drunk, lying in the gutter with his pants inside out and on backwards. And he's singing. Oh. He said to me, I walked by, you know, dressed as a devotee. Did you get a job? Oh, it worked great for you. I'm going to follow your advice. You're lying in the gutter with your pants on backwards. I'm going to follow your advice. I don't think so, you know. So he's not really happy. That's not real happiness. You know the man who falls off. I'm supposed to tell you a quick joke.
Sure.
You know the man who falls off the roof? You know what he says as he's falling? So far, so good. Is that an intelligent conclusion? What's going to happen? He's falling off the roof. Hey, nice view, fresh air. So far, so good. What's going to happen? That's the real intelligence. So we should just be intelligent and hear from the Bhagavatam. There's, Prabhupada said, four types of people, four ways of learning. One is one learns by hearing. Okay? You hear, accept. What's the other way of learning? You see. Oh, the guys, so far so good. Well, that didn't work out so well. I'm not going to do that. My brother told me that I could fly when I was 5 years old. He and I were watching a cartoon, you know, cartoon. And they put on the guy in the cape, he's flying, you know. Shh. So our brother said, hey, let's try that. And that's meant, why don't you try it? So I learned that as well. So we put on a cloth, you know, like this, some towel or something. Got on the roof of was lucky only one story. My brother said, run as fast as you can and put your hands up. And I was 4 years old. Okay, sounds good. My brother's name. My brother's shirt, my brother's shirt. I was soon divested of that impression. I ran off the roof, I put my hands up. Hey, it was working! You know, for about 2 feet, and then I was introduced to the law of gravity. Yeah. So the point is that, you know, that so one can learn by hearing, one can learn by seeing somebody else does something stupid and what's the result. One can learn by experience. That's, well, if you don't learn by hearing, okay, then maybe you learn by seeing. If you don't learn by seeing, maybe you learn by bitter experience. And what is the fourth level? Even you hear, even you see, even you experience, you don't learn. So we have to accept that we're in Kaliyuga. We have to become humble and recognize that really we just need to hear from the Bhagavatam. This is reality, this is the world, this is our position. And it is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarathulinda. Sometimes they say, what are you doing practical for the world? What are you doing practical? And we can spend some time on that. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's a great sentence, but it's one of those little sutras. And he says, cavil as you will, you must surrender. I'll say it again. Cavil as you will, you must surrender. And cavil means quibble, argue, dissemble, avoid. You can dance around. Krishna has 100 hands. And if he wants to take from you with his 100 hands, what can you do? Of course, he also gives you. Voting with his 100 hands. So the simple point is we should hear from the Bhagavatam, understand our position, surrender to Krishna. That is the only practical thing we do in this world. So we can in there thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna.
My mind.
Did I say it? Oh!